There are certain times in life where we're presented with conflicting emotions of what to feel. Probably the most extreme case I could think of is the Gemara discusses, and Ramosha has a tshuva about a case where a person, right before their wedding, a parent passes away. And all the money for the hall is already set, and people flew in, and people came in for the wedding. And what to do in that case. The Gemara discusses when should you bury the person, when is the wedding, when is Shiva, when are Sheva Brachos. But to go through the wedding and to know that your parent just passed away, while it's the happiest day of your life, is of course extremely bittersweet because of that. And this Shabbos we're presented with conflicting emotions. On the one hand, it's Shabbos Kodesh. And even though we have Shabbos every week, sometimes we take for granted how special the experience is. If you think about it, when it comes to getting aliyos, we have three aliyos on a Monday and Thursday. If it's Rosh Chodesh, we have four aliyos. And additionally, on Yom Tov, we have five. On Yom Kippur, we have six. And Shabbos Kodesh, we have seven. Shabbos is the holiest. And yet, this Shabbos is Tisha B'Av. Now, of course, it's a nidcha, and so all the avelos is going to be on Yud Av, the next day, on Sunday. But we have Shabbos simultaneously with Tisha B'Av, and what to feel is very strange. Of course, we're not supposed to fast, we're not supposed to think about it, but how could we not think about it? But even when it's not a nidcha, even when Tisha B'Av falls out during the week, there still is also some tension, because Tisha B'Av, which is unequivocally the saddest day of the year, as the Gemara says, after Bnei Yisrael were crying, went back to their tents crying from the Chetam Raglim, Hashem established that as a day of crying. It was a Bechina Shel Chinam. They cried for no reason. They had no reason to fear anything going into Eretz Yisrael, and that was on Tisha B'Av. So Hashem says, I'm going to establish that day, which was Tisha B'Av, as a Bechil Doros, as a day of crying. Day of crying for all generations. But even though Tisha B'Av is the saddest day, it's also called a moed. In the first parak of Eicha, it says, Kara Elai Moed. Moed, we think moed's a happy time. And because of that, there is even halachic rulings related to this tension. On the one hand, we say kinos, because of Tisha B'Av, but on the other hand, we don't say tachanun. The Siddur Yaibitz holds that an avel is not supposed to be the chazanan Tisha B'Av, since it's called a moed, right? Normally, an avel always is the one who davens during the week, and on a Yom Tov, an avel doesn't daven. So here on Tisha B'Av, the avel can't daven, says the Siddur Yabitz. The Shla explains that it's called a moed because in the future, when the Beis Hamikdash, when the third Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, when Mashiach comes, this is going to be a huge chag. And he says this is a reason why the day of Tisha B'Av, Yud Tet Av, not this year, which is Yud Av, but Tet Av always is the first day, falls out on the same day of the week as the first day of Pesach. Because we celebrate getting out of Mitzrayim, our Geula over there for Mitzrayim is the same day as our ultimate Geula. The Geula of when it's going to be Tisha B'Av, like I said, when we're celebrating when Mashiach comes and we have the Beis HaMikdash. And another point is when it comes to even the destruction itself, there's some tension. Because, I mean, how could it be, though, that the destruction, that there's anything good related or positive related to the destruction? And so there's a midrash that explains that there's a sense of relief and joy from the destruction in the sense that Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is he upset at? Hashem was upset at Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people. And Hashem, just like we see throughout the Torah, we learn Chumash, we see how many times thousands, tens of thousands of Jews got killed from immoral or improper things based on how they acted. Right? So over here, what do we see? Instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiping out the Jewish people, Hashem took as anger, and as the Midrash says, Eitzim v'avanim, sticks and stones. Right? The fact that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash is a little bit of a relief because it showed that He didn't want to take out His anger upon us. And these are just some examples of one day of the year of Tisha B'Av, where we're pulled in the one hand of course, having the saddest day of the year, but the other hand, it has a sense of moed. But throughout the entire year, in our entire lives, in our entire existence, we also constantly live in a life of polarization, because we ourselves are made up of two diametrically opposing forces. On the one hand, we are a physical body, and we are created, afar min ha'adama, right? Adam harishon. Adam comes from the lashon of adama, created from the ground, as physical as could be, where we have bodily desires and bodily pleasures. And on the other hand, we are a neshama tahorahi. We are a holy, holy soul that was sitting tachas kisei ha'kavod, that doesn't matter what impure things our body does, our soul can't be tainted. Our soul is still pure, and of course we want to elevate our soul, we want to do as best we can, but these things are just put together. Imagine taking someone who knows that they're Jewish, but they totally live an immoral life. Just that they're Jewish. Imagine setting up that person with someone from Lakewood, right? How awful would that shidduch be? Imagine, like, it wouldn't last half a second, but imagine if we force them to try to live together for a year, like, how awful that would be. Nothing would go well, right? And over here, our body and our soul are joined together. Our neshama did not want to come into the body, it was forced in, and has to work together. And at the same time, though, the Sefer Matzah Chaim points out that the neshama, though, of course, needs the guf in order to work together. Because the neshama, which gets some chiyus from doing mitzvos, is only able to do mitzvos with the body, where the hands of the body have to shake the lulav and esrog. The mouth of the body has to utter tfilos, right? And the whole point is to be able to uplift our guf, even though recognizing that, of course, our guf is a very physical thing. And we're in a constant war between the body and soul. That's our lives. That's our nisayon, is that war. And we have to do our best to align our body to achieve the desires of a soul. There was a story of a very wealthy man who was a miser. And he was extremely stingy. And the rabbi used to go to him and speak to him and do what he could. And the person would never, not that the rabbi was doing it for the donations, but the person almost never gave anything to the shul. Almost never helped out other than paying his dues. And the person grew older, and he was on his deathbed, and he didn't have any children. He didn't have anyone who was going to be inheriting his money. And he calls the rabbi, and he has the rabbi come to the hospital. And the rabbi comes to the hospital, and the rabbi meets with him. And in a certain sense, the rabbi, he says to him, like, okay, I think you know what you have to do. I think you know what you should do. And the man, he says, I know. And the man takes out a checkbook, and he writes a check, and he hands over the check for the rabbi, and the rabbi looks at the check, and the check is for $10,000. Now, $10,000 check is a nice check. When you have millions of dollars, and you're on your deathbed, and you've been stingy your whole life, $10,000 is pennies compared to what you should be giving. And the rabbi, even though he wanted to hide his emotions, he couldn't avoid having a look of disappointment on his face. And the man, who of course noticed this, and even without the rabbi's facial expression, would have realized and figured it out that the rabbi would be disappointed. The man says, I know you're disappointed. I know. And he said as follows. He says, my heart wants to. My mind knows to, but my hand just can't do it. He knows he should be writing this a huge check, right? His heart wants to do it. His heart's in the right place. His mind knows rationally he's about to die. He can't take this money with him. I've heard from Ephraim Goldberg, who said, you've never seen a U-Haul truck drive behind the hearse, right? When the hearse is going to the cemetery, there's never a U-Haul truck behind it with all the person's possessions going into the next world with him. There's nothing he could take with him. He knows that. But at the same time, even with all that rational thought and all, maybe even the right intentions, his hand just can't do it, as he said. He just can't write that check. He can't do it. And the goal of life is to be aligned, that of course there are times where we're in tension, where we're being pulled in different directions, but to have symmetry, to be able to work together, to align our guf and our neshama. And Be'ez Hashem, when it comes to getting to Tisha B'Av, on that day of polarization, in a certain sense, we should be able to have just a day of pure simcha. We should have a day where Mashiach's going to come. Mashiach should come mamish before this Tisha B'Av, where we're going to be celebrating it as mamish and moed, as it ultimately should be. And we look forward to that day where everyone's aligned. All Jews have the proper intentions, and our guf for everyone is used to serve the neshama.